The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you. Thank you for the lovely sitting guiding meditation. And today I would like to talk about awareness and object. I'm sure that we are familiar with it because we are sitting here, right? We meditate for love. That's why we come here. But because Lise told me last time, we have a couple people asking about what the difference between awareness, like open awareness, and there's question about object between concept and reality. So we thought that it's good to mention about this. So anything that is so ordinary, so simple, like you heard that hundreds of times before, just bear with me to see if you can be that as a reminder, or it can be something that you can learn from it. So first, we want to know what is awareness. Since we don't have a lot of time, then I will just go ahead and say things that that's how I understand it, and I will open up to anybody who have different ideas than that. So first one, in my opinion, awareness is the mind. First, the awareness is the mind. It's one of the five faculties in the mind. And second, it's ability to know or to recognize things. So anybody else who have different ideas about what is awareness? No? Please jump in whenever you feel like you.
Thank you, but I'm just taking that in and appreciating. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so the next one is, how do you know that you are aware? We've been aware so many times, so how do you know that we've been aware? First, be in present moment and seeing the body and the mind objectively. That one. Second one, pay attention to reality objects or direct experience. So pay attention to reality objects. It means, let's say you eating something, let's say banana, and you pay attention to the taste. And if the mind say this is sweet or this is banana, that would be the mind, the thinking mind or the talking mind, not the banana itself. So taste or thinking is the reality object. The banana, the name of the fruit or the character of the taste, like sweet or sour, that concept. So reality objects and direct experience. So you when you eat banana or anything, the direct experience is the taste. When you see something, the direct experience is seeing and thinking, not the trees, the person, or anything like that. So how do you know that you are aware? Because you be in present moment, because you watching the body and the mind, because you recognize direct experience. That's how you know you are aware, right? Jump in, anyone, if you feel like you have more idea than that. I'm welcome anybody. Okay. So the next one is awareness the same as consciousness? Example, somebody getting angry, and that person say, that person angry and wanting to yell. So if awareness is a consciousness, or awareness is just different than consciousness, like a yogi or a non-yogi. When they know they are angry, so what's the difference? The non-yogi would say, yeah, I know I'm angry, right? And then the yogi also say, yes, there is anger. So what's the difference? Is it a consciousness, or is not a consciousness, or it's both? It's getting into more deeper and detail, right? So if you've been meditating so long, so please, what's the difference? The difference is the non-yogi would think that when I'm angry, I want to yell or at least show that I am angry. That person believes that showing that is give the result. Let's say I'm angry and I'm banging on the table. I want your attention because I believe anger makes you pay attention to me. So that non-yogi let the anger guide their mind and their action, the body. The yogi, that person, also know that the yogi also know that she or he is angry, and she or she just notice that this is how anger feel in the body. How does anger feel in the mind? How the thoughts run in the mind. So that person pay attention to both how the situation out here and how it is in here. So the relationship between anger and the awareness is different than the relationship anger and consciousness. If you pay attention to the body and the mind, if you pay attention to reality, if you pay attention to anger as an object, the direct experience, that is different than just consciousness.
Wow. So, you know, these words have so many meanings in the English language that I'm noticing you're making really good distinctions. And they're useful because, you know, I can feel like the yogi who meditates has choice about action. But I find myself getting a little caught with words like consciousness. I mean, you know, because they have these other meanings. So I appreciate what you're explaining here.
Thank you. Yeah. So you see the relationship. If we just believe in anger, then we continue that road, go down that road. But if you don't believe in anger, we have more information how to handle this, or we pay attention, this is just an object, then you have more choice, like Lee saying, right? So that's the difference between when we say, like, same thing when we say, like, we conscious, we awake. So that the consciousness that I want to talk about, because you can be aware when you are sleeping. Mm-hmm. So that kind of consciousness I'm talking about. You see the mind is a mental state. That is awareness. So the mind can be sleeping or the mind can be totally awake. But consciousness, like the way we use to use it, it's just, I know what's happening. I am angry. So I cannot, of course, I'm not conscious when I'm sleeping. So that's the difference between awareness and consciousness. The next one is there a difference in awareness, like the types of awareness? So first one is directed and receptive awareness. And this is the question that Lise told me somebody asked earlier, like before, many different lessons of sections about. So directed attention is you choose to pay attention to one object. Let's say you pay attention to the feeling or the sensation in the nostril. So that is direct experience or direct attention, directed attention. But when you receptive attention, then you receive, step back to let whatever come into the field of awareness. And then when we see the receptive awareness or attention does not mean that, oh, I'm open awareness. I opened it. It's not like that. You don't open awareness, but you whatever come to the field of awareness, that's how it's called receptive awareness. We say it open because you don't choose like specific objects. Like I'm paying attention to my sensation. I'm paying attention to the hearing. I pay attention to my seeing. So, but whatever it is. So another one that people said a lot, like expand awareness. You don't expand awareness, but actually it's feel like the field of awareness is getting bigger because it's gained momentum. When you practice continuously, correctly, and like long time, and then awareness getting stronger and stronger. And when awareness getting stronger, you know more. The awareness know more. It's just like a child. They can only see their toys. But a mother can see, if the mother receives something new, she can see that a toys. She can see that I'm happy. She can see that, okay, this phone, I bought a new phone, is so expensive. So she can see more than just the phone. But a kid, when he receive a toy, he can or she can only see the toy. So a mother have bigger picture, relate to that. So it's more mature in the way of a mother, but less mature in a child mind. Same with awareness. When awareness gain more momentum, awareness can see more. So it's you cannot control to see more, or you cannot control to expand it. But because it's get more, just like when you see, you point to, you look at something, then you only see that. Like right now, you look at me talking about this, right? You see in my face. You forgot about my background. But now if you step back and you can see me inside the background, I'm in that kind of frame. Same with awareness. Seeing and looking is different because of the attention. Awareness, direct awareness or receptive awareness is the same. It's different because of the attention to that. And then momentum to that. So a lot of people think that, oh, I'm going to have the open awareness. If you don't have that kind of muscle, the momentum, you cannot have an open awareness. You cannot expand awareness because you don't have that ability.
Uh-huh. So that might explain why sometimes people feel like, well, I'm doing open awareness, but I'm just getting lost. I'm confused.
Yes.
Because the mindfulness or awareness quality hasn't been developed enough. And, you know, there's a feeling of like, what am I doing here?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Also, like if you have a habit of pay attention to one object, the mind at that moment, the mental state is focused. And then you try to see more because you have a tendency to see more. So that's also the character of focusing. You cannot see more.
Mm-hmm.
So the awareness is ability. Like I mentioned that when we say definition of what is awareness. So because it's ability, we can train ourselves. In order to that ability to get stronger, you have to work out just like a muscle. If you work it out, it's getting stronger. You just cannot ask that ability to get stronger because you want to. just like the muscle. So it's nature. You cannot force it. So that's all about the awareness. And now, is that too much?
Well, maybe we should let people ask a few questions and see, you know, what's resonating or how they're connecting this with what's going on in their practice right now. Maybe that'd be helpful.
Yes.
If people have questions or comments or.
Yes, please.
Sharing about what's going on in practice.
Right. I mean, that was wonderful. And really it's, I don't even know what question to ask. I think I mainly wanted to say, like, I'm really happy this is recorded because I would like to go through and listen to it, maybe each piece and kind of sit with the different pieces. And thank you.
Thank you. Maybe we can prompt the question, like, who in here, like, practice with open awareness and practice with directed attention. Mm-hmm. Is anybody?
Yeah, so I'll raise both hands. I do both, or I switch between one and the other, and find that really helpful.
Can you share when you switch?
You know, sometimes I will sit down with the object in mind, like the idea of coming back to the breath, coming back to the sensations of breathing again and again and again in order to stabilize the muscle, you might say, strengthen and stabilize the muscle. And then when I feel stable enough, I may do that for the whole meditation, or I may, if I feel stable enough, I may then allow whatever is most prominent in awareness. Often, though, by the time I do that, what's prominent in awareness may be very subtle. It's no longer necessarily focused on a sound or something big like a thought. It's more like subtleties of how awareness is feeling in that moment. So that's a start of an explanation of. And sometimes I'll just sit down and whatever is being received, it doesn't matter. And then a similar trajectory will actually happen, that at first awareness might be aware of very obvious things like the pressure of my legs against the chair, you know, the feeling of coolness. And then over time, what awareness is aware of may start to get quieter and smaller and, you know, just sort of more subtle So that's a start. I don't know if others practice with both or they practice with one or the other. How many people here practice with a object, like consistently coming back to one thing? Anybody? Maybe I'm the only one in the room who does that. Oh yeah, Peggy does it as well. And Sarah sometimes. And then how many people practice with this, you know, changing flow of different things that come and go? Yeah. So we have a lot of people doing more than one kind of meditation.
Yes. Go ahead.
So this has made me actually that I do have a question now, which is it's pretty rare that I like really pick an object and spend a lot of time trying to go with that object. That's always felt really, it's like a struggle. I'll end up just switching and I'm like, I'm noticing a struggle. And I guess like related to that, I don't know that it's exactly receptive awareness, but like I will sit down, maybe it is, I'll sit down and like notice what's prominent. And a lot of the time it's not necessarily like, it's like I'll sit down and something's really prominent in emotion. And I'm like, that's just what I'm really paying attention to. And it's not like I'm intending to pay attention to that, but it might stay for like a while. And then maybe there'll be like a brief like you know, like, oh, a body sensation, a couple sounds, a thought like comes through, and then like, oh, there's that emotion. It's still there and it's really prominent. Like, is, and that, and sometimes that actually devolves into like a lot of thinking. Like, it almost feels like I'm more settled early on in the sit. And then as the sit goes on, I find that I'm like, yeah, like maybe less, less receptive and more lost in thought for like what seems like longer periods of time.
I appreciate your acknowledgement of how thoughts can really take hold, especially when we're experiencing a strong emotion. You know, how, where we're sitting with that emotion is kind of tricky, right? We can be sitting with physical feelings of it, like whatever it's doing to the body, but often the mind really wants to go with it, really wants to talk to us about it. And it's almost hard to just hold awareness at the level of a physical sensation. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the way that you describe your experience is the nature of the mind, because you've been practiced quite regularly. So the mind knows how to pay attention to the obvious and stay with the obvious until it dissolves. And when it dissolves, definitely the mind starts to feel more subtle. And this is if you want to, and then you get lost into thoughts because you don't recognize the mental state have changes. And there's, so if at that moment, if you, and then you also mentioned that, oh, it's already gone. And now you come back. It's just like waking up. So this is a habit of like practice habit. Pay attention to the, like the obvious or the prominent. And then when it's dissolving it, you more likely, oh, there's a sound, there's thing, because you go into the object. Like the feeling, notice the feeling, notice the feeling, notice the sound, notice the thought. So it seems like you go into the object. But if at that moment, if you pay attention to you already pay attention, but you don't know that you pay attention. You know that, oh, the sound, there's the thoughts arise. And then you, oh, the feeling is gone. So, but you don't have a habit of in seeing the changing, how you relate to that. Let's say you come back, you pay attention to the feeling here, and then it's feel less, and then how that feel less you relate to that, how your relationship with that. At first, you pay attention to this like fully. And then now you little getting back. You don't see this process. So you only recognize it when it's done, because you pay attention to the object and set up awareness. If you pay attention to awareness, you can see this whole thing changing because you already know that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it does. But I might have to just meditate and sort of play with trying to.
So like you naming it when you see thing, like the mind naming that, naming the feeling is prominent, the naming hearing, naming this, naming that. And then you already know it dissolved. The mind already know it. But because the mind does not pay attention to awareness. Because it's never named this thing. It's only named the object. It noticed the object, but it's not noticing. This guy is noting all of this. So when it's dissolved, it's changing from obvious to subtle. You know that, but you don't follow in it. That's why you don't see it happen until, oh, it's dissolved. Because you name it again. It's a habit. It's just a practice habit. Nothing wrong with that. But if you pay attention to like how the relationship between awareness and the object, you can see big difference. Like, oh, this is the feeling right now. This is how it's feel. And when it's gone, how it's changing it. Feeling and thinking, relationship. Feeling, thinking. And then the feeling gets less. Less thinking. That's why you can hear more. That's why you can recognize like all the objects. So just a habit.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else? Okay. So
I'm appreciating what you said, because I was reflecting on an experience I had had where I realized I was frustrated about something, and I could feel the frustration, like, you know, just really unpleasant, not a great feeling. And then the thoughts were leaning into, as they went along, there was thinking going on. It was leading to anger. And then, you know, as I watched the anger, and I thought, well, wait a minute, you know, the mind started questioning, really, is that person's intention, you know, a bad intention? Or what kind of intention, you know, might have led to this experience? And then I noticed that the mind made this flip. It started laughing at the whole thing, thinking the whole thing was kind of crazy, you know, produced by all this thinking, and that maybe had no reality at all. And it was kind of, so it's interesting, this blend of paying attention to, you know, that there are thoughts, and thoughts can, they sort of can change what's happening in the relationship to the thing. So it took it from frustration to anger, but then thinking also took it into the ridiculous and the laughing at it. So it was an interesting interplay of like, you know, being in the feeling and also being aware of the thinking. So I'm appreciating your comment that if you give space to what is the relationship here? Like, why am I having this crazy, angry relationship with this? And is there really bad intention here? Or what's really going on? Then it enables that shift into, oh, the attitude is going from pleasant, going from unpleasant to really bad unpleasant, and then to kind of almost pleasantly light or something. But the action was in the attitude. So thank you.
Yes, often we don't have a habit of watching the processes instead of watching because that's how we learn. We beginning with an object, and then we just pick out the object and object and object, and then this sound, this thought, this, and we cannot put in we cannot step back and put that into a bigger picture and see the relationship of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry, I interrupted with my sharing there. You were about to say something additional.
Oh, yes. I was talking about the object of awareness. The object of awareness, like we all know, and then just like in Vipassana, I'm not talking about different meditation. This just a particular Vipassana meditation. We know that there's a mind, body, feeling, and nature or Dharma. So this is the one that I was talking about. We very good at mind, or at least we completely know about that, but at least we know what is mind. We know about body, sensation, and then we also know the Vedana, the feeling tone. So we know about that too, but we rarely pay attention to Dharma because we don't see the character. Even the mind is have its own character. The body is have its own character. The feeling tone is have its own character. And in the mind, let's say in the mind we have like functions, states, processes, and qualities. We don't pay attention to all of that. We only pay attention to function, like thinking, knowing. We don't pay attention to quality. So when we talk about mindfulness of awareness, we're not talking about awareness of the things out there. So, or even in the mind, but like the concept. So when we pay attention to that, we can see more objectively, easier to step. That's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah. So as an example, you know, when you talked about the banana, if we're from a culture that has positive associations, concepts about banana flavor, then when we have the direct experience of tasting the banana, we might have a pleasant Vedana, we might have a concept of sweet. But let's say we come from another culture. I used to travel a lot to and from Japan. And to Americans, maybe many Americans, cheese is like really tasty. They love it. And to the Japanese colleagues that I had, they were like, cheese, oh, that is so disgusting. You know, so their cultural, you know, concept, when they had the taste of cheese in their mouth, the concept of disgusting was there. And for me, it was like very pleasant. So these are differences that you're pointing to that really, the more we become aware of that, the more we become aware that we're putting these ideas on experience that then can lead to suffering. If I were, you know, if I had some, I was really hung up on that in some way, whether I thought cheese was so wonderful that I wanted more of it than I should have, and it led to, you know, addiction, cheese addiction, or if I would, you know, any of the stuff that we can get engaged in leads to the suffering we're trying to overcome. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Lee. So that's it for today. I just want to point out that because everybody talks so much about open awareness, expanded awareness and concept and reality, direct experience, directed attention. So stuff like that, I think is helpful to bring it up. And thanks to Lise that sharing a wonderful teaching today. And thank you, everyone. Share experience with us. So, Lise, you want to have a couple words, and then we can end it.
Oh, just thank you so much, Lianchi. That it was. I'm with Sarah. I want to re-listen to the recording and fully, you know, immerse myself in understanding some of the distinctions you were making because they are important. And I appreciate everybody's participation this evening. May all of our practice lead to liberation and freedom from suffering for ourselves and for others in the world around us. I hope you all have a lovely evening.